talk to you a little bit about the reading that we just heard from the prophet Isaiah, from the second part of Isaiah. First of all, I'd like to tell you a very odd kind of story, and you can make about what you will. In the reading from Paul, we just heard about words or utterances of wisdom and of knowledge. So I want to share with you a little experience of that. And again, you can make up of what you want. We've had the same appliance repairman for maybe 15 or 20 years since we've lived here in Cochrane. And during that time, we got to obviously get to know him. He's been in the house, unfortunately, a lot, as happens, and got to know him. He's a nice Christian guy, middle-aged Christian guy. And we've talked a little bit about our faith from time to time. Not even talked a lot about it, but just kind of shared little things that were going on. And he's given us a little bit of a discount, which is nice as well. But the last time he was here, I think it probably would have been in the fall, about the time that I was starting here. And he's never done this before. It's kind of odd, but as he was leaving. As he was leaving the house, he said this to me, and it basically went like this. I don't really know why I'm saying this to you, but I'm just paraphrasing what he said. I don't really know why I'm saying this to you, but I have a word for you. And the word is restoration. And it's not so much about you, but it's something in the proximity of you, the word restoration. And so in the past, upon occasion, I've had friends that have come to me and given me a word that they believe was from the Lord. It made a lot of sense. Like, I remember somebody saying to me once, this word is for you, but I have no idea what it means. And I'm going, yeah, I know exactly what that means. That's a very clear statement to me. Doesn't happen a lot, but it's happened upon occasion. But I listen to this and I'm going, I cannot make sense of this at all. This word restoration, it doesn't resonate with me, although it's somehow supposed to be in proximity with me. So I shared this word with somebody here in this parish as I was beginning, and I'm saying, does that make any sense to you? And they're going, yeah, that word makes a lot of sense. So the reason I think of this is that we're reading from the book of, we're reading from 2 Isaiah, and restoration pretty much sums up what he is doing here. That is, he is, I think, what, well, put it this way, this part of 2 Isaiah, think of Nehemiah, right? And Nehemiah is rebuilding after the people have gone into exile. And have been brought for a long time because, you know, of their worship of idols. They've been sent away to Babylon, and they've been brought back. And the governor Nehemiah is setting people to work rebuilding the walls, right? Just working to remake things. And so think of this part from 2 Isaiah, which we just heard, and think of it as, I don't know, the song or the poetry that goes along with building the walls. And specifically, what he's saying is, and he says, uses some beautiful imagery. He says to the people, well, you used to be named to the people because of everything that's happened to you. You used to be, your name was forsaken. But now I'm going to give you a new name, and the name is going to be My Delight is in You. And I've always read that, and I thought, well, that's beautiful imagery, you know, God speaking very poetically, until you look it up and you go, you know, there were actually young girls who were named, that was their name, Forsaken. There are actually people who were given the name My Delight is in You. And then I just thinking about it, I'm thinking, and other, because I'm thinking about other things in the scripture, and I'm going, I wonder if, though, if say there's a couple of examples of this, young women who were given the name Forsaken, I wonder if they were given that name during a time when things were really difficult. And it just kind of summed up things are going. And I wondered if you had a daughter and you named her My Delight Is In You, maybe it was during a particular kind of joy. And the Lord says, well, you sent yourself into exile, my people, through your love of idols and of false gods. And I sent you to live there under the authority of these false gods and the people who worship them because of your constant refusal. And during that time, I gave you the name Forsaken. But now the time has come. The time has come for something new to begin, for restoration to happen. And I do a new thing, he says, infinitely more than you can ask or imagine. And now the name I give to you is My Delight Is In You. And think for a second about what that would be like to have God say to you, God say it to the people, just very clearly, My delight is in you. Or to say to us, My delight is in you. The nearest example I can think of that is if you've had children, young children, for example, you just have this overwhelming feeling of just being delighted. Well, not all the time. I know. but at moments of just sheer delight in them. And I remember I was on retreat once and sitting in front of the tabernacle. And I had the same experience myself. Out of the blue, it's kind of like Jesus saying, I delight in you. I'm going, wow, that's incredible. I've never experienced that before. So the Lord is saying, I'm going from calling you, you're forsaken, because that's what you wanted to be, in a sense, to My delight is in you. And then he goes on to describe, this is the wedding part of it. And then Isaiah goes on to describe what the Lord really wants to do. And you think, well, what would the Lord really like to do with his people if he had the chance? You know, what would it be like if he had his dream come true of being with his people and having activity with them? What would it be? And Isaiah says, it's like this, a great big wedding banquet. And in fact, what we have, if you read this part of Isaiah, what you see described is an Israelite wedding banquet with the bride having the crown of gold placed in her head, like in the Eastern Church, they still do, crown of gold placed in her head, this incredible sense of celebration and this sense that the bride and the groom are taking delight in each other. And the Israelites did not hold back when they were describing romantic love. They were not puritanical about it in any way. So they just described this delight, a delight between the two of them. Israel being God's people, being the bride, and God himself being the groom. And just this joy that the Lord wants to have in placing this diadem on his people's head and renewing them, in a sense. So back to that word of restoration. We've been through a lot. I want to say we, because it feels like we, but this parish has been through a lot in the last number of years. But let's play a game and pretend that we could add a name to the parish. You often see Anglican parishes with complicated names. I think especially if you go to England, right? You see Anglican parishes with complicated names, not just the name of the saint, but you have like St. Martin in the Woods, right? Saint Swithin in the Swamp. That's actually probably a mythological parish. That's probably not actually the name of a real parish, but we quote it all the time, Saint Swithin in the Swamp. And names like that will have names, you know, it'll be Saint so-and-so, so-where, Saint so-and-so, so-the-what. So if we could add a name to the parish of St. George's, we think about what God has led us through, led you through over the last, and how we can look back and see how he's been with us, even though it was difficult at the time, and see how he's nurtured us and held us in the palm of his hands. What word would we add to the title St. George? Could we say St. George of the Restoration? Would that make sense? Are there other words here? Could we say St. George, whom the Lord delights in? It's kind of a little mental exercise in a way. How does this passage from Isaiah, which is about the restoration of God's people to their fullest capacity, their fullest joy, does this passage speak to us? And you could, by all means, read it again and with that thought in mind. And what would it be like to hear the Lord say to us, not just as individuals, but as a parish, my delight is in you? And to have the Lord say to us, not just as individuals of the parish, I have written you in the palm of my hands. And to say not just to individuals, but also as a parish, I have placed this crown on your head, and I cannot wait for this fantastic marriage banquet to begin. So let's think about that. If we were to give an appendage, is it appendage or appendix? Doesn't matter. But anyway, if we're giving a little addition to the title of St. George, you know, I suggest it not be in the swamp, like St. Swithin in the Swamp. But if we were to take an addition and add it to the name of St. George, not suggesting we actually do that, but as a mental thought, what would it be? We would say St. George, and I just wonder if that word restoration that was given to me, not for myself, I wonder if that word resonates. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you have chosen us to be your people. Thank you that you look on us delight in the way that we look upon small children, and the way that a bride and a groom look at each other at their wedding. Thank you that that is your true desire for us and your true feeling for us. We ask you to continue to guide us in this parish community, that you may say to us, you are my delight. I have written you in the palm of my hands. Amen.